John 14:6 reads, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. What is truth? Is there even such a thing? What is truth? Does it matter? Do you care? If you lived your whole life and it was a lie, would you want to know? Do you so love truth that you would conform everything you are to truth? And how would you know if that was real? Would you want to give yourself to a lie? I don't. And I think, to be completely honest, I don't think you do either. I don't really have today outlined as much as I usually have my time with you guys. I want to make this more of a discussion. Who's heard me talk here before? Like, who's heard me speak? Does anybody remember anything I spoke about? Anything? Like, what's something I spoke on one time?
Well, you kept on saying, like, Jesus is, like, the bread of life and stuff like that.
Yeah. Jesus is the bread of life. I've kind of been going through a little bit of a series with you. Do you remember, like, kind of a repetitive thing in this series? Yeah?
I am.
Yeah, I've been going through the I am sayings of Jesus. Each one of them. I've been going through, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door. I am the gate. You know, I am the way. I am the resurrection. And then today, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Specifically, I want to focus in on that truth part. Now, this will be the last of the sayings, the I am sayings, that I go through with you guys. And next time, if I do speak with you guys, I'm going to be speaking a little bit differently. But for today, I want to reflect on what we have talked about. And today, you have to think about this. Does any of it matter? Is any of it real? And if you come to this conclusion that it's not and it doesn't, that's fine. See, I speak in a lot of places, and usually there's two responses after I speak. And it's a little bit differently how I've been speaking with you guys, because I've progressed through this speaking. But usually there's two responses, and one is either the people are in tears, and the other is they're either yelling. Usually people are either upset or they're broken. Is when you come to truth, there's two responses. Either you conform to that truth or you reject it. But what is not an option is to ignore it. What's not an option is to sit still. See, today, I want us to be bare and honest and raw and real about this. And that's asking you guys to do the opposite of what you want to. Because if you were totally honest with me, you would be totally comfortable and fine with just sitting here, listening to me talk a little bit, and then go eat something. And you'd be totally fine with that, and then next week have someone else come and speak. Or in a few weeks, even I come back, and then I talk about something Jesus said one time, and then you go on with your day and your lives. But what you're not comfortable with is actually caring and investing and putting yourself completely on the line for something. And I know that because I'm a human being just like you. Because to be honest with you, I would prefer almost to sit still and not change. It's easy to not change. It's a lot easier. But is it worth it? Are you really comfortable being comfortable? Because I think deep down inside you're not. Deep down inside, you want something that's real. Even if you wouldn't voice that, even if you're not willing to go out of your way for that, deep down inside, you really want something that's genuine. And I think that because I'm just like you. I'm a human being. And I don't know how many of you guys can relate to this story with me, but when I was about 10 years old, my parents had a divorce. And this is Father's Day, so it's kind of ironic that I would tell you this story. When I was about 10 years old, my parents had a divorce. And I remember a couple of years before that, I remember sitting in the room with my parents and asking them, I was an only child, but I asked them, you know, are you going to get divorced? Because my friend's parents were getting divorced, so, you know, this question came up. And I was like, are you guys going to, like, split up or something? And they're like, no, we would never do that. We love each other. We care about each other. We'll never do that. And I was like, okay. I had a legitimate promise, wrote it down in my book. I didn't write it down, but, you know, like, I filed it away in my memory banks, you know. And I remember, like, a few years later, you know, when I'm 10 years old, and all of a sudden my mom comes in and she's like, you know, me and your dad are splitting up. And we're going to your grandparents' house, her parents. And I just remember being in total, just devastated with this understanding that something I thought was real turned out to not be real. I remember a few years ago, I found out Santa wasn't real. How many of you guys remember when you first found out Santa wasn't real? Be honest, like, how many of you ever thought Santa was real? Because I totally did. I was that kid. I was like, Santa Claus, he's coming. He's coming. It's Christmas Eve and I'm going to catch him. And I was definitely that kid who built the trap to catch Santa. Like, you know, the cookies and the milk, and then I'm hiding behind the tree. Like, where is this guy? There's not enough presents here yet. I never noticed, like, there's never more presents in the morning than there were the night before. At least not in my household. Because, like, my parents didn't care that much. Like, they care enough to be like, oh, Santa brought you something. But not enough to actually, like, get dressed up and sneak under the tree and put it there. So, I wanted to know, is Santa real or not? And I never found out until I was, like, probably, like, a little bit further on than most kids. Probably, like, 7 or 8. And I'm hoping that you guys have had, like, this truth kind of broken to you already. So, like, there's certain camps I've spoken at, and they're like, you can't tell people Santa doesn't exist. Like, that's not okay. But there's this idea. I'm going to pull this over here so I kind of have something to put my Bible on.
For the one that born in church, when they're baby, they know that's not
right. Oh, okay. So, good thing your parents don't tell you that. Because I remember being told, you know, like, this whole, like, everybody goes into this lie, this elaborate story that Santa exists. Teachers, like, contribute, society and culture, like, Santa, you know, Santa's coming. Coca-Cola has a lot to do with that, let's be honest. You know, you remember those commercials, the Santa commercials, and then there were the polar bear commercials? And anyways, I think it's ironic that, like, parents are surprised when teenagers start to lie to them. Because I'm like, you lied to them first. Like, you told them Santa existed. And Easter Bunny and Fairy, like, Tooth Fairy. Like, they're just getting back at you. Like, you taught them to lie. Like, no. But, I mean, genuinely, I was a little bit ticked off when I found out Santa doesn't exist. I wasn't to the point where I was, like, in tears. But, you know, there was a little part of me that was just like, really? Like, then, if there's no Santa, like, why would you tell me that there was? That's a pretty logical question, right? Like, that makes sense. And then what do you say when you're a parent at that point? You're like, because you would enjoy it. Like, we don't want to break your hopes, and it was a cool story. But even though, like, it was all exciting, looking forward to Santa's presence on Christmas Eve, looking forward to, like, all that thing. It was exciting setting out the cookies and the milk. It was exciting getting ready for Christmas and Santa and making a list and mailing it and all these things. When I found out Santa didn't exist, do you think I put out cookies the next year?
No.
No, I ate them. do you think I made a list and mailed it? No way. I gave it to my parents and asked for an iPod. Like, you operate differently once you know there's a truth. Like, I can't go back and think that there was a Santa Claus. I can't, like, rewind my mind to think that. Because I totally just spit and you saw it. Like, you're the only one who saw the spit, didn't you? No? Okay. Right. Never mind. Ignore it. Forget it. But I can't rewind to think that there is a Santa. Because now I know there isn't. And even now that when I found out there wasn't a Santa, as I started to grow up and mature, I realized, well, you know, it is kind of ridiculous. You know, like, there's this guy in the North Pole, and he's... But when you're a kid, you don't think like that. You're not like, oh, that's ridiculous. You're just like, oh, yeah, there's a Santa. You know, I got my presents. And as you get older, you start to think about it, and you're like, yeah, you know, flying reindeer, like, really? I thought about that, and I was like, that'd be kind of cool, but I don't think it's going to happen. And then So that the truth in that situation, when I found out the truth, it changed how I viewed things, and it changed how I acted, and it changed what I thought about Christmas. It changed how I looked at my parents a little bit, and it changed me as a person. Because there was a part of me that had to grow up. And there's a part of me when I first found out that Santa wasn't real, that I had to act as though Santa wasn't real. And when my parents split up, the same thing happened. I grew up, and then it's an experience that kind of made me mature a little bit. And I had to change how I viewed things, and I had to understand that in relationships there's tension, and I had to understand all these levels that, like, to be honest, at first I didn't understand. And now I look back, and I've matured. I understand what happened, and I understand how it happened. But even still, I value the truth of the situation. Because I could still sit down with my dad and he has a whole story. And I could sit down with my mom and she has a whole story about what happened. But the truth of the situation is something I've had to learn from. And I can't rewind and think that my parents have an awesome relationship. Because they don't. And that's just how it is. And I'm not condoning divorce. I think it's immoral and wrong. I'm not condoning anything. But I'm just pointing out the fact that when you discover truth, it's hard at first. But as you grow, you come to understand it. Another terrible incident was 2 years ago before I moved to Boston. When I first got saved, there was about a year between my salvation experience and whenever I moved to Boston. And during that year, I started to be mentored by this man of God in my church. And he started to take me through the Bible and teach me the doctrines of God, teach me, you know, about the Bible and Christianity and about missions. And I remember going through this, and he used to have like a bookshelf that I would borrow a book from, you know, read it and then return it to him. And it's just an awesome guy with an awesome experience, had a lot of speaking ability, spoke in front of teenagers a lot. And I remember about 2 months before I moved that he fell from ministry. Now, I'm not going to explain all that, but what I believed and perceived him as wasn't true. That the whole time while I was learning and growing, he was deteriorating and falling. Now, that was probably one of the hardest days of my life. And I remember weeping and being angry. And I remember for like 2 days, I was just in this most depressed state I've ever been. And everybody in my youth group, everybody in my church was very torn up and broken up about this situation. But me specifically, because I was probably the closest person to this guy, of the youth, of the young ones. And I remember coming to this point after about 2 days, sitting in my room on the floor and realizing either this is real or this isn't real. And I have to decide for myself, can I walk away from Christianity? Can I walk away from all of this and be okay with that? Because regardless of what happened with that guy, I knew that there was a truth. Either Jesus is who he is or he's not. I can't live the rest of my life knowing that Jesus is the Christ and not giving myself to that. I would never be content. I'd never be satisfied. I'd always wonder. I'd always want more. And so I had to decide at that point, after a year of being a Christian, after already planning to move to Boston to be a missionary, at that point I had to sit down and really just confirm what I had already kind of decided with my life, but confirm I'm all in. And I haven't been to Tennessee all that much since then, to be honest with you, because there's nothing for me there. I go back every once in a while to visit my mom, like for a week. But I'm all in. I can't rewind to the mindset I had when I was not a Christian, when I was lost. I can't rewind to that mindset I had more than three years ago. Any more than you can rewind to the mindset you had a year ago. Think about the last year, okay? Last year, 4th of July, right? How many of you guys remember 4th of July last year? Kind of, maybe. Not really, you know. Last summer, even. A lot of stuff has happened between last summer and this year, right? I mean, there's probably certain events, certain classes, certain people, certain things you've learned that have just changed how you view things. How many of you still play with Power Ranger toys? How many of you did when you were a kid? I totally did. How many of you played like Pokemon when you were young? I still play Pokemon a little bit. When I'm on a road trip, that's my road trip game. How many of you like watched freaking Hey buddy, how's it going? Anyways, how many of you used to watch cartoons when you were younger, like Bugs Bunny or whatever? I totally did. How many of you were one way when you were young and now you're completely different? Not a different person, but you're just grown up. You're maturing. You're changing. You're moving into this person you are. You're growing. It's because as you grow, you learn. You don't put your hand in a fire anymore. Although when you were a kid, you probably got burned once, did you? Did you guys ever get burned when you were a kid? I totally did. They used to have this thing, I don't remember what it was, but it was like some kind of rod that was really hot. And I remember my dad was working on something outside on a car or something. And I was like, what is that? And he's like, don't touch it. It's hot. And so he walked away. I was like, dang it. You know, it's totally hot. I burned my finger. I had to put ice on it. That, I still remember the pain from touching that fire thing. And I've gotten burnt touching other things since then. But like, I'll probably, next time somebody says something's hot, like, I'm probably not going to reach all in and be like, alright, here we go, you know? Like, I've had to learn from experience that hot hurts, don't touch hot things. And that's a truth, and that's real and honest, and none of you would question that. If somebody said, hey dude, here's a fire, and they lit it in front of me, and they were like, put your hand in it, I said, no. How many of you would think I'm crazy because I won't put my hand in fire? But you'd probably be like, that makes sense, because that's probably not a good idea. Because it's true. Because the truth is, fire is hot and it hurts. How many of you guys want to put your hand in fire? I didn't think so. Probably not. Probably want to pass on that one. Because it's not a good idea. Now, I'm talking a lot about truth, right? But I've also been talking a lot about Jesus. And see, you've heard a lot about Jesus before I walked in here. And you'll probably continue to hear a lot about Jesus. And a lot of you guys own a Bible. And you've probably read a few pages in here. And you've probably memorized a few verses. You probably could draw me a picture of Jesus if I asked you to. Well, it probably looked like a cross with a dude with thorns on his head. Kinda. But how many of you understand the truth of who Jesus is, to the extent that you have to radically change who you are to match that truth? See, that's a whole nother page. That's a whole nother deal. So I'm going to sit down for a minute, and I just want to be bare and honest with you guys. Because I'm not satisfied with lies. See, I speak a lot at some places, and I speak less than I used to, because after I got saved, I immediately went into speaking at camps and stuff. You guys ever been to like a church camp kind of thing? Yeah? And I would come into these church camps and I would speak, and as I grew, I learned more, and I would speak more, and you know, speak more often, and became more popular with it. But I realized after a while that a lot of what happens at a camp is pretty fake. You ever notice something like that? I don't know what kind of camps you guys have been at, but I remember growing up in camps, and huge things would happen. People would make huge decisions, and then like 2 weeks later, they'd go back to the lives they were living. And there were a lot of emotions, a lot of decisions, very few true changes. And I stopped speaking at camps as often, and I'll speak whenever I know like the people who are running it or know the youth groups that are running it, and know for sure that those people are going to carry the truth on to a weekly basis. But the problem for me of speaking at camps was like last summer I spoke at this church. And for like about a week I spoke at this church, hardcore. You know, like a series through Jesus being the Word of God and how the Word is like changing our lives. And the scary thing was, I met with the pastor during the week, and you know, like he was an alright guy, nice enough. Wore penny loafers. You guys know what penny loafers are? It's like those brown shoes with little tassels on them. You know, he's a very conservative guy, traditional guy. And he took me to the skate park, right? In the town. And he's like, you know, there's teenagers here. They might come to the camp, you know, the retreat, which was at their church. And so, like, I was like, all right, sure. And he had these little, like, cheesy flyers, you know, like, you know, free ice cream sundaes kind of stuff. And so we went down to the skate park, and, like, I met a few guys. Like, yo, how's it going, guys? And I'm, like, T-shirt and jeans. He's, like, you know, plenty loafers guy. And, you know, just talked to a few of the guys. You know, what's up? None of them came, which is fine. Like, that's, it's whatever. But, he, you know, this was his idea of bringing people to the camp. So, you know, a few days later, going through the week, probably like a Wednesday, it was like a Monday to Friday thing, we get to Wednesday, I sit down, or I'm about to go in to speak, like we're about 10, 20 minutes out, and there's these two kids on these bikes riding by. And I don't know what kind of bike you would call it, but it was like, it's like a lowrider bike. I don't know, like it was extended longer, and it had like the long, like, so the wheel was like way down there, and then the dude's sitting here, you know, on the bike. You know, have you ever seen this kind of thing? It was really big in that town, because everything's like sidewalks and stuff. They didn't have like a T. And so, and these kids were riding by on the bike, and I was like, oh, hey, what kind of bike is that? You know, like, just started talking to the guys. And one dude wasn't wearing a shirt, and, I invited the guys in, and I was like, yo, guys, we're going to have, like, food and stuff. I'm actually speaking today. And they were like, oh, cool, dude. Can we come? I was like, totally, man. They'll be free ice cream and stuff. So, like, all right. And I was like, you're going to need a shirt, though. Like, the pastor kind of is going to be already kind of, like, ticked that you're not wearing a collared shirt. But like, I was like, I got a T-shirt inside. I'll just grab you one. So, gave him a T-shirt. You know, they came inside. They had, you know, shoes and shirt and pants and stuff. So, they came in and they sat down. I was speaking probably to like a group of 30 or 40 kids. It was just a small town, small church. Their church only ran like 10 or 20. So this wasn't even like their youth. It was like the youth of the town. And so these two guys were there, and you know, I spoke through the Word of God. You know, who is Jesus? This is Jesus. You know, went through the whole thing. And afterwards, nice. Were like, those two dudes that came up to me afterwards. They were probably the older guys there. They're like 19, 20. They came up. They're like, dude, that was awesome, man. You were passionate, dude. Like, all right, man. Like Jesus. All right, dude. You're the man. They're like, and then the one guy was trying to tell me something about gangster music or something. Like some musician he really liked, and I don't remember it because it wasn't important, but it was like this whole thing, and they were really psyched about it, really psyched. Well, the next day they came back, and the pastor of the church, he was in the, you know, meetings, he went up to those guys and asked them to leave. The next day, like the second they walked in, he just went straight up to them, you guys, you can't be here. Like, you guys need to leave. And I was like, what? You know, so, like, the guys were leaving. Like, I saw them starting to walk out. I was like, yo, dudes, what's up? Like, where are you going, man? You guys going to hang out or get some ice cream or whatever? They're like, no, the dude, the guy, I guess, the guy in charge, like, told us not to stay. I was kind of like, okay, well, let me talk to him. Let me see what's up. And, like, maybe we can work something out, you know? And so I went to the pastor, like, real quick. And I was like, hey, man, so is there a problem? Were they, like, causing trouble? Like, do you think they're, like, did they have drugs or something? Were they drinking? Like, what's the problem, you know? Is there a problem? Because I thought you were supposed to, like, I thought you were trying to get kids to come, and I finally got some kids to come, and you're asking them to leave. So, I mean, you can see why I'm like, what the heck, you know? And the pastor was like, those aren't the kind of kids we want here. Just like, what do you mean? You know, what do you mean? Like, what kind of kids do you want here? It's like, well, they're just a little old. I was like, they're teenagers. They might be like 18, 19, but they're teenagers. It's like, well, they're a little bit rougher. I'm like, who are you trying to reach? And he didn't answer. He just kind of shrugged it off. And I was like, all right, well, it's your camp. You know, run it how you want. You know, and I'm not questioning that, but I learned something there, and that's why I won't come back to that church. Because the problem was, he wanted kids to be comfortable. And he wanted kids to come in and be comfortable for a week and sit in chairs and be comfy. And then after that, to walk out, be comfortable, and be like, hey, maybe we'll go there next week. Can you stop that, bud? And so, I am not comfortable supporting being comfortable. Does that make sense? Do you kind of see, like, my bad taste with that situation? My frustration? See, my problem is a week after I leave, that church is never, ever going to talk to those kids again. The next year, they'll go give flyers, and those kids will probably come back, and they'll eat ice cream sundaes and have a little bit of pizza and hear another nice speaker, but no change will take place. those kids will not know the grace of God. And I have a problem with that. Because the person and the people in charge there aren't willing to invest and pour their lives and their time and energy and efforts into those kids. They won't study. They won't work. They're lazy and they don't care. See, I don't know your church that well. But I know one thing. I know Tony cares. And I know that I care. I know that I study for you guys. For you guys. I don't recycle messages. Like, I'm not going to reuse this sometime. And I don't care for you in such a way that I want to gain popularity. I'm not getting a lot of YouTube hits for this. Like, so you know. And I don't think I'm that big of a deal. But you know why I do come here? I come here because Jesus is a big deal. And He's worth telling you about. Because if He is who He said He is, then wouldn't it make sense for me to be doing what I'm doing? If Jesus really is the Son of God, and He really did come to redeem mankind, to show light in darkness, to bring bread to the hungry, if He really did come to be a way for you to come to God, if He really did come to lead you in this world, to bring you to life, if He is true, then wouldn't it be worth me coming to you and telling you about that? Would it be worth you following? See, I asked you guys a question last week, and I'm asking you the same thing today. Do you believe this? It's your decision. I can't make you believe something. Whether you believe it or not doesn't change whether it's true. But based on what I have told you for the last several weeks, based on what you've heard about the Bible, about Jesus, you have to decide whether you believe it. Whether you believe it enough to invest your life to. So when I started this series, I asked you, I sat down in a chair just like this, like pretty much the same exact thing. And I said, what do you guys think about Jesus? You remember that? I said, what do you guys think about Jesus? And you say, like, good guy, good teacher. I remember somebody said, you know, not everybody believes in Jesus. I remember you saying that. And I remember, like, you guys being like, you know, just honest, you know. The kind of consensus that I got from you guys was just kind of like, it's Jesus. Like, what do you even want us to say? It's Jesus. So here at the end of our little series, our little discussions of listening to who Jesus says He is, I want to ask you guys the same question. And I'm going to give you into a little hint right here. It's going to get a little bit awkward. Because nobody wants to be that first person to pitch in and be like, this is who Jesus is. Nobody wants to raise their hand or be uncomfortable in that situation. But I'm going to ask each of you to be a little bit okay with the fact that you're going to be a little bit uncomfortable and a little bit vulnerable. You're going to be a little bit on the edge to actually talk back. Like, that's crazy. Like, what am I thinking, you know? But I believe in you guys. And I believe that you guys are courageous enough and bold enough to be honest. You don't have to talk right now. That's fine. But what do you... Here it is. You ready for this? You ready for this, like, open floor discussion time? Are you ready? Yeah? No? Okay. What do you think about Jesus?
Is it an opinion question?
Yeah, sure. Just whatever you think.
Okay. Well, I think he's the best.
You think Jesus is the best? Okay. What else? Yeah?
I think he should be, like, a main motivation and a role model in life.
Role model, yeah.
He's the one that... He's, like, the almighty, and he does no wrong, and... just a person that we should look up to and help guide us the way that we
should. Yeah. Role model, guide. Those are good ones. Best. What do you guys think? Dudes, you're leaving me hanging right now.
Poor guys. Poor best girls. Come on.
I think if you listen to the past couple weeks, the whole series, no. You should realize by now what's so unique about Jesus. That's the thing that always
He's the truth and stuff? Okay. Now you're going to try to steal my material. No. What do you think about Jesus? Like, you can even ask a question if you wanted. Jesus related. It's pretty much on the floor. Jesus is the best. Yeah, I like that one. I like that. I met a guy once. His name was Burback. And Burback, I know. It's a funny name, right? He had a beard, too. He was Arabic. It was funny. He was from Pakistan. When I met him, he was like, "Where do you think I'm from?" And I was like, "I don't know. Where do you think you're from? Like, what do you think I think you're from?" He's like, "Where do you think I'm from?" I'm like, this is like a thickly Arabic guy, you know, and I'm on a boat at the moment, and I'm like, some terrorist nation? I don't know. Like, what do you want me to say right now? Like, you know, and he's like, I'm from Pakistan. I was like, kind of what I was thinking, actually. And he's like, "We like you guys." I was like, "Us guys? Americans, we like you." I was like, "Awesome. That's what I want to hear, that you don't hate my guts and going to kill me." And he was like, "You know, why are you here? Like, what are you doing? Is that a Bible?" You know, because I had my Bible out. I was like, "Yeah, it's Bible." I was like, "Cool." He was like, "I'm a Christian." I was like, "Awesome, dude. You kind of smell bad." You know, it was just one of those awkward moments, and it was like an awkward, interesting conversation. It was like 12 o'clock at night on a boat that's like rocking, and like I'm sitting down, but he was walking by and like almost fell over. That's how like we started talking, because I laughed. And he came over and he was like, "Is that a Bible?" "Yeah, that's a Bible." He's like, "I just became a Christian like a few weeks ago." And I was like, "Cool." Now, you have to understand, like, his English wasn't that good. Like, it was like, "I Christian, yeah?" And I was like, "Yeah, all right." Yeah. But I was like, so, because when somebody says to me that they're a Christian, like, I don't really take it for granted. Because for 16 years of my life, I was telling people, I'm a Christian, and I wasn't. And I didn't understand anything about the Bible, or Jesus, for that matter. And I definitely didn't believe it. And so, like, the guy says, "I'm a Christian." And I was like, "What's that mean?" He's like, "I don't know." He's like, "I'm a Christian. I'm not American. I'm a Christian. Like, I don't know what to say." And I was like, "Well, what do you believe about Jesus?" You know, and he said, he's paused. You know, there's that hesitant moment. He thought. He said, because his English wasn't that good, he didn't know how to word it. You know, and he said, "Jesus. Jesus is best." And then he said it louder. "Jesus is best." He's like, "Jesus is best." You know, he just got so excited, he just kept repeating it. "Jesus is best. Jesus is best." And I was like, "Okay, Mr. Bomb Guy, yelling Jesus at me." It was like, no, but legitimately, like, everything else stripped away. You know, these big words like propitiation, redemption, you know, satisfaction, justification, all these things set aside. It comes down to this one idea: Jesus is best. Jesus is best. See, Burback told me his story, and his story was that he was from Pakistan, and he grew up Muslim, and he used to, you know, bow down, you know, and pray to Mecca. And he said to me, "Jesus is best, and I can't go home." He said, my parents asked me to leave. And, you know, this is like a 30-year-old guy, you know, like he's not living at home, but his parents wouldn't have anything to do with him. So he was on his way to Norway to live a better life. And along the way, he was meeting with pastors and preachers and priests. And one of the questions he asked me was, "What's the difference between Catholicism and Protestants?" And I was like, "Well, I'm neither of those. Like, I just kind of follow Jesus." And he also asked about alcohol. But it was like, as he's going, he's asking people, what can you tell me about Jesus? Like, I just want to know about Jesus. You know why? You know why Burback would cross the world to learn about Jesus? Why he would leave home, meet with Catholics and Protestants and some kid on a boat with a Bible? Because he had been lied to his whole life. And he had been told he was supposed to pray to Mecca, and he was supposed to do these things, and he would get to heaven. And he had been lied to by so many people. He just wanted something real. Does that make sense to you? He just wanted something genuine and honest and truthful. He wanted real truth. So he was willing to cross the country for it, cross the world for it. Are you willing to believe? It might take you across the world. It might take you 5 feet to the left. It might take you across the street. It might take you into North Quincy or South Quincy or West Quincy. It might take you to Squanum or Marina Bay or Howes Neck or Germantown. It might take you to Braintree or Weymouth. It might take you to freaking Tennessee. It might take you home for a year. But are you willing to believe just because it's real? See, I'm hoping that you're sick of lies and sick of people just talking. There's nothing worse than somebody who's all talk and not no action. I'm hoping that you actually care. Maybe you don't. Do you actually care? Yeah, I know the music started. But do you actually care? Does it matter? Do you believe any of this? Is Jesus who he said he is? Did he do what he said he would do? Is he even real? See, I don't want to yell a bunch of answers at you. I know pastors that would do that. They'd slap their Bible and strut around straight stage and they'd yell, you know, Jesus is this, this, this. They'd say, just ask for him, you know, blah, 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 blah. They'd lead you in invitations. And then 5 minutes later, they'd be down the road at Denny's eating food and they'd never care ever again. See, here's the difference between them and me. I moved here. I moved here because I do care. And want to or not, you're part of my mission field. Simply for the fact that you're in Quincy right now. And I'm thankful and gracious for the opportunity to come and speak to you. But to the most ground level, I support what your church is doing here. To the ground level, just very foundational, in Quincy, people are disconnected from Jesus. And I'm not okay with that. So I moved here because it's real and because there's statues of Jesus outside with a little Jedi hand signal. And there's people around here who will pray and say that they believe in Jesus, but they don't know and they don't care. I don't really believe it. And the reason why I'm here is because I want you to believe it. Legitimately. Legitimately. So we're going to close in a word of prayer. And this is the end of the series. I didn't really touch on the scripture that much. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. It kind of goes with everything I've been saying, right? You know, the way, the gate, the life, the resurrection and the life last week. The truth, that it actually matters. So we're going to close in a word of prayer. I'd ask for you to join with me.